On this Good Friday, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is The Whipping Boy, based on Isaiah 53 that Reuben read for us, these verses. Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. Growing up as an American, I didn't learn an awful lot about English history. But I guess there are probably many people born and bred Canadians who don't know a lot about English history either. Still, many of us know the name of King James I. He was, after all, the king responsible for the translation of the Bible that bears his name, the King James Version of 1611. Not only was he the King James I of England, I wonder, Everett McKenzie, if you know that he was also James VI of Scotland at the same time. He was a double king. He also probably thought very much highly of himself. We think this because he's the man that thought up the political religious doctrine entitled the Divine Right of Kings. Basically, this doctrine said that God supports me as the king. And if he supports me, he supports my decisions. And anyone who disagrees with me as king disagrees with God. So, always do what I say as your king. Now, James was disliked by many of the common people for thinking such things. One person in particular who probably really disliked King James was a man whose name was William Murray. Who's William Murray? Thanks for asking. Just in a moment, we'll get to that. But first, let me tell you something about King James' son, Charles. We'll call him Charlie. James wanted his son, Charlie, to be the future king and wanted him to be respected. Yet, like any boy, little Charlie did naughty things like naughty boys do. One thing he often did was not listen to his teachers. But James could not let just any common person discipline his son, the future king. And that's where William Murray came in. For with him came the first use and the first understanding of the term a whipping boy. Since it was improper for a lowly teacher to discipline Charlie, the next king, they brought a playmate into the palace to play with Prince Charlie and to go to school with him. And when Charles was bad, this playmate was smacked in place of Prince Charles. I imagine the conversation went something like this. Charles, you've been a very, very bad prince. You need to be punished. William Murray, would you please come over here? And then would be a series of whacks or smacks or whatever punishment was given in the 1600s. William Murray got clobbered for Prince Charles's disobedience. When the whacks were finished, I can imagine the teacher turning from William Murray, the whipping boy, and turning to Prince Charles and saying, "Now, Charlie, did you learn your lesson? Don't you feel bad now?" I'm not sure where Charles felt badly or not, but I'm sure William Murray did, as well as bruised and sore and beaten. For you see, William Murray was the whipping boy, taking the punishment for somebody else. Today, 400 years after William Murray got slapped for the sins of another, the phrase whipping boy has not disappeared from our vocabulary. That's probably because we still have whipping boys and whipping girls. We have people being punished unfairly and unjustly for the sins and mistakes of others. Have you ever been a student in school and some other student misbehaved, but somehow you got the blame and punishment? You were a whipping boy. Has your husband or wife ever come home after a bad day at work and took it out on you? You feel like a whipping boy. Have your parents ever punished you for something your brother or sister did? You were a whipping boy. Have you ever lost a job or had to take a pay and cut because of somebody else's stupid decision? You're a whipping boy. Are you unable to socialize with others or have a peaceful life at home because somebody under your roof is abusing drugs or alcohol or is emotionally abusing you? You feel like a whipping boy. When you were young, I'm sure that you, like I, was upset with the fairy tale called Cinderella. The girl Cinderella was constantly the whipping boy for her mean sisters. Now, as adults, our outrage hasn't disappeared. It is not right that anyone should be a whipping boy. I'm sure that you would never, never make somebody else your whipping boy, would you? At this point in the sermon, I'm beginning to see a small smile on the lips of some people who are really following the sermon. There should be a smile because I hope you know I've just asked you a loaded question. In this loaded question, would you ever make somebody else your whipping boy, has to do with Good Friday. Because as Christians, we know. Look here. We know. We have a whipping boy. The name of our whipping boy is Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Now, he's quite different than the William Murray we spoke about earlier. William Murray was punished so that only the King's Son would go unpunished. But Jesus, the Son of the Heavenly King, was punished so that all common sinners like you and me would not be eternally punished. Listen again to the words from Isaiah 53 that Reuben so eloquently read to us this morning. Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. By his wounds we are healed. In the New Testament Gospels, we see how this Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah was fulfilled. Jesus indeed became a whipping boy for us. Recall again that last earthly day of his life. We call it Good Friday. Good for us, maybe, but not for him. See those scarlet stripes laid on his back with the whip. See the blood drip down his face as that crown of thorns was thrust upon his head. See and hear those nails pounded into his hands and his feet as blood flowed from those as well. See him on the cross crucified. Why? For nothing he had done. For he indeed became the whipping boy for the sins of the world. That should have been our whip. Should have been our crown. Should have been our nails. We are the sinners, not Jesus. We break God's commandments, not Jesus. We should be punished, not him. But because God so loves you, because God so loves me, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son And Jesus became our whipping boy. Because of Jesus, your sins are paid for. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is conquered. Your hell is vanquished. Your salvation is won. Jesus died and he rose from the grave and he reigns in glory. And all that he did, guess who he did it for? For you. The speaker of the old radio program, the Lutheran Hour, tells this story. At the close of a battle in World War I, a young man named Carl was found dying on the battlefield. A fellow soldier stopped to help him. He gave him water to drink. He propped up his head. He held him. He refused to abandon him. The dying man said, "Please, would you please take a paper and pencil out of my pocket? I want to write a message to my father. He's a man of great wealth and success." The message he wrote said this: "Dear Father, the bearer of this letter cared for me in the last moments of my life. He made sure I did not die alone. Please receive him and help him. Please do this for me. Please do this, Papa, for Carl's sake." Well, the war ended. The soldier went home and found it very hard to get a job. His meals were few and far between. He finally gave up his pride and in desperation found Carl's father. As he stood at the door of the fancy house, he looked like a penniless beggar. The father was about to turn him aside. But then the man handed the father the note written by Carl, his son. The man recognized Carl's handwriting. His attitude changed as soon as he read the final statement: "Papa, please take care of this man. Please do it for Carl's sake." The father threw his arms around that soldier, welcomed him into his home, and soon treated him as his own son. All of this he did for Carl's sake. It's a wonderful story, but it's quite poor in comparison to what the Father in heaven has done for you and me. Not by choice Carl died on that battlefield. If he'd given his choice, he probably would have returned home healthy and whole. But Jesus, our whipping boy, gave up his life willingly, completely, fully. He wasn't ambushed. Jesus wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. He entered this world for the express purpose of dying for you and me. Carl's father welcomed the soldier who had been kind to his son. Yet the Heavenly Father welcomes into his heavenly home the very people whose sins caused the death of his son. And not because of anything we've done for Jesus, but only because of what Jesus has done for us. We are freed from our sins, and we are made sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, with all the blessings that come from being adopted into his family. And all of this God does, and all of this he gives to you and me for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. One more time now, really listen to the words of Isaiah 53. "Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. By his wounds we are healed." Today, on this solemn and holy day of Good Friday, we give thanks for the wonder of wonders. Jesus is our whipping boy. In the name of Jesus, amen.